Let's turn now to Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Let us pray. O Lord, as you continue to build your church here, we do remember that you are present and active. And we want to give credit more to you than claim it for ourselves. So your word works now on us and in us and upon us. Help us to be receptive to that as you continue your work this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was working on getting this sermon ready when I heard the children in our daycare ministry getting ready for their nap time. They were settling into their cots, and a teacher led them in prayer with voices joined. They said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guard me, Jesus, through my nap. Wake me when it's time for snack." Amen. It's a variation on the classic children's bedtime prayer from the 18th century. Some of us learned it as, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." There are other versions of it. One says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. His love to guard me through the night and wake me in the morning's light." So you're here today, which is good news that the Lord has woken you on this Sunday morning's light. I hope you had a good night's sleep. For many folks, that's hard to come by. Millions of Americans, in surveys that show us, are among the world's leaders in sleep deprivation. There are millions of Americans, adults in the United States, who have chronic sleep loss or a chronic sleep disorder of some sort or another. Most Americans who have chronic sleep problems or trouble with that cite one main reason. You've probably got your guesses about what it is: finances. There are lots of other worries, I know, and anxieties that can keep us up at night, along with physical or biological factors too. But whatever the combination of elements, our sleeplessness, our restlessness can take their toll on us, take their toll on our physical health, our psychological health, our emotional health, our home life, our work productivity, and other dimensions of our life. Sleep is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's one of the ways that God provides for what we need. And God provides it, notice, without our endless striving. Go back to our text for today. The psalmist says, "In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Now, it's true that one of the things that can contribute to a good night's sleep is a hard day's work. There's some truth in that. But at the same time, one of the factors in our sleeplessness is often our unwillingness or our inability to slow down or shut down completely, especially at night and including in the nighttime or whatever period of the day we need rest. So many of us live in sort of a state of relentless activity or chronic busyness that carries over from the workplace into other dimensions and other spaces of our lives, including our homes, including our bedrooms. These days, if we want to pick up on one of the terms here in our scripture passage today, toiling. These days, a lot of our toiling has to do with how connected we are to our devices and the toiling that goes on because of that. We often have trouble resting because we're always on. We're always connected. We're always up and running. In that sense, we're becoming more like our computers, our devices themselves. In other words, even when our devices are in sleep mode, they're in a state basically of low power readiness. And how often have we become that way ourselves? All we have to do with the device is sort of tap a key or swipe the screen or speak into the microphone, and it wakes up ready to go back to work so that we can get ready and go back to work. I like the way one writer put it. He says, we're facing a future in which our sense of the divide between sleep and wakefulness will fade, along with the distinction between our devices' state of on or off. Is that device really off, or is it still on in a sense? And are we, even when we claim to be powered down, how much are we still awake in one sense? There's a man named Andy Crouch. He's written a good book that gives a lot of helpful wisdom and advice to families in particular about how to manage technology wisely in their lives. And in one section on the importance of sleep, he says, if there's one thing that sums up the difference between human beings and our technological devices, and just as importantly between us and our Creator, it is this. We need sleep. Lots of sleep. We're meant to be still, quiet, unconscious, and vulnerable for roughly a third of every day, and more when we're young. Devices don't need this kind of rest. While anything with moving parts requires periodic maintenance, and even fully electronic devices will eventually wear out and fail, most of our technology can function for days, months, or even years without anything like sleep. But we are not devices. We are persons or human beings. And while we're made in the image of God, in this respect, we are not like God at all. God, quote, never slumbers or sleeps. You heard that in the call to worship that Ronnie read earlier today. But is continually present and available to all creation. God's unsleeping care is good news. We sleepy creatures can trust that our needs will be provided for while we can do nothing on our own behalf. Go back to our scripture text today. The psalmist reminds us that sleep is a sign of our dependence on God, our vulnerability and our need for God's grace and power. Sleep isn't something that we produce. It's something that God gives. It's an act of divine grace. When you crawl under the covers and turn out the light at night and go to sleep, part of what you're doing is you're acknowledging your own limitations, your mortality, your vulnerability, your dependence upon the power and grace of God. You're recognizing those kinds of things. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon summed it up this way. God gave us sleep to remind us that we are not Him. God gave us sleep to remind us that we are not Him. So think of sleep as a form of Sabbath, a form of rest. And that's a rest. It sort of calls a halt when we go to sleep. It calls a halt to our workaholism. It calls a halt to our relentless activity. It calls a halt to our temptation to want to do and do and do. That's part of what sleep does. It calls a halt to that. When you're asleep, think about it. You're in a passive rather than an active mode. You're surrendering control rather than seizing control, which is often what we're after. You're prepared not so much to act when you're sleeping, you're preparing to be acted upon while you rest. In fact, sleep can be an occasion for God to do some of his most important work on us and some of his most important work in us. Others have shown and pointed out that spiritual growth occurs partly, true, as a result of sleep, of getting enough rest, but a lot of spiritual growth can also occur in rest and in the midst of sleep, too. Look at it this way. Sleep has a unique way of reminding us that our bodies, given by God, these are part of our relationship with God, too. Our bodies. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Soul, yes. But we're embodied souls. We have bodies that are part of our relationship with God. Our spirituality involves our limbs. It involves your organs. It involves probably the most important organ of all, your brain. The brain. Scientific studies continue to show us how rest is essential to the brain's health, essential to the brain's functioning and vitality. During sleep, your brain goes through what some folks often call housekeeping in different kinds of ways. Inconsequential information gets removed. Biochemical residue gets cleaned up. Things you've learned and experienced get consolidated and sort of rearranged so that there's new space for new information, new experiences, new memories. This is part of what happens in our brains at rest. In other words, the time when you think of yourself as off the clock is the time when God is often very much on the clock, working the night shift, repairing you, restoring you from head to toe as you sleep. God gives us sleep. It's an act of God's grace. And it's given to us so that we can be renewed and restored in all kinds of ways, in heart, in mind, body, in soul. That way you're better able to love God with your whole self and your neighbor as yourself too. I'm not just standing up here this morning to urge sleep for the sake of sleep, though that's important in itself. What's also important is that faithfully resting helps sustain faithfully working, faithfully serving God and serving others and living in God's world. In other words, what we do with our sleep often affects what we do with ourselves when we're awake and alert and about the business of our day. Now, generally speaking, more rest means that you're not only more healthy, more alert, more efficient, more productive, and more other things that we could think of, more pleasant, more healthy, more focused, all those kinds of things, more prepared to engage fruitfully and effectively with others. All those kinds of things can contribute to what it means every day to follow Jesus more faithfully. So sleep isn't just about getting your neurons replenished and being in a better mood. Those things are all part of it. Sleep is also about discipleship. It's about taking your shut eye and offering it to God so that he can use it to work on you, to work in you, and to equip you for participating in his kingdom purposes in the world every day, believing that God cares about, that God's involved with, all the so-called routine matters of life. And a lot of those appear in our scripture passage today: community, family, home, work. All those things are in these verses here from Psalm 127 that I read. It's just one of a series or a collection of psalms known as Songs of Ascent. These are psalms that folks would have used when they were on their way to a pilgrimage in Jerusalem, or when they were there in Jerusalem, especially at the temple, in order to offer praise and thanks to God. So God's people, through these psalms, knew the importance of having a sacred destination, a holy place, a place where they could worship God, a center, so to speak, where they could see their highest loyalty and their ultimate allegiance, a place that embodied all of that. The house of the Lord was holy. And so they used these kinds of psalms for that. But that didn't mean that the places they had journeyed from and the experiences they had there were unholy. They were just as holy as us, in a sense, as being there in Jerusalem. They were a sacred part of God's purposes. The fact that Psalm 127 focuses so much on these routine matters of life, like work, family, home, community, and so on, shows us that these folks, they had no problem holding together loyalty to God's home with loyalty at home. Those things went together and were held together. When they made their journey to Jerusalem, to the temple, it was an act of devotion. And it was an act of devotion to a God whose will and whose purpose embraced every aspect of life, the whole of life, including sleep and rest. Now, your own journey here to worship this morning may not seem to rise to the level of a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, that kind of experience and event itself, but it still indicates by your coming here today that you recognize God's claim on your life and that you recognize and acknowledge God's presence and God's activity in all aspects of your life, including your rest and your sleep as well, that you acknowledge God's presence in these ordinary matters of each day, and that you want to embody the will of God in everything that you are, in all of life, including your own habits and practices of rest and sleep. That's part of it too. Remember that the Lord's Day, this day, has its own rhythms of work and rest in different kinds of ways, its rhythms of being on and being off, of being active and being at rest. After all, sleep was part of your preparation for coming here to worship today. I like the way that one woman named Tish Warren puts it when she says, "Slow down, curl up, close your eyes, let your snoring proclaim God's faithfulness." Anybody here snore? So, you woke from rest, in a sense, one form of worship, to come here for another form of worship, together, aloud, in this sense. And from here, many of you will probably go on to enjoy some lunch, and who knows, maybe a Sunday afternoon nap. That's a tradition for lots of folks and lots of households too. Or maybe that drowsiness has arrived early, even during the course of this sermon today. In other words, when it comes to snoozing, you may already be practicing what I'm preaching up here right now, or felt like it in a way. One pastor tells about a time when a sweet elderly lady in his church told him in all sincerity, "That was such a wonderful sermon, it just put me right to sleep." Put me right to sleep. Well, in one respect, the aim of this sermon is to put you right to sleep. Just not right now, okay? Later in the day, especially tonight, when you have that opportunity to stop, power down, shut it down, and reflect on all of God's gifts and blessings, especially the one that you're about to get when your head hits the pillow, this gift called sleep. Some of you are probably familiar with the children's bedtime book, Goodnight Moon. Author Arianna Huffington has recorded a digital age version of the story. It's aimed not so much at children, but primarily at adults, and it's titled Good Night, Smartphone. And it includes these lines: "Good night, kittens. Good night, emails unwritten. Good night, clocks. Good night, inbox. Good night, worrying about weight loss. Good night, demanding boss. Good night, test for which I need to cram. Good night, Instagram." Those are fitting words for folks like us who are used to powering up early and powering down late in our lives most of the time. It's not easy for us to turn out the light, put our head on the pillow and enter into that divinely given state of powerlessness. That's not something that we like to surrender or give up, but it's part of what it means to rest, to sleep, to remember that we are in God's keeping and in God's power and God's grace. That state of powerlessness called sleep. And yet, that can be, as it turns out, the very time and the very place and the very space where God most demonstrates his power to keep us and to preserve us and to sustain us. It reminds me of a psalm where David said, "I lie down in sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me." The Lord sustained you through this night, this past night, and awakened you for this day. And he's present and active and at work in it and on through it to this night when you'll say again to him, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Let's pray. God, giver of rest, including sleep, we confess to you how much we live our lives staying powered up, always on. And we confess to you our failure to power down and shut down and realize more deeply our deep dependence on you for all things, including rest. We pray that you help us to grow in faith and in discipleship by how we rest and how we sleep. Pray for others who are here among us right now in this sanctuary, and others we know in our families, our homes, or our communities who have a really hard time sleeping and getting rest for all kinds of reasons. We pray that you grant to them more rest, more sleep, and that we receive this gift ourselves gratefully and use it for active and faithful service to you, and love for our neighbor during the waking hours of this day. Thank you again for last night's rest, today's light, and your presence and activity in all of life. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.